When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And welcome back to the OHIO podcast, everybody. I'm your host, Buckeye Bugs. That man over there is the wild man, Chris Wilds. And this is our USC preview for 2024. This is our third West Coast team that we're going to talk about, Chris. Of course, the first two was UCLA and Washington. And now we're going back to Los Angeles to talk about the Bruins' crosstown rival in the Trojans. This is a blue blood, brother. This was the big get. The Big Ten went out and got a big fish. And USC was definitely that big fish. This was the answer to Texas, Oklahoma. Nah, come on now. If the SEC is going to grab Texas and Oklahoma, and the Big Ten answers with USC, that's a pretty good answer.
USC is not a bad answer, Eric. But I think Oregon was definitely the bigger get in that grab.
New USC money, brother.
USC is a good program. But more importantly, they're a great media market. So I will give the Big Ten credit for that.
Well, and that LA market, as the UCLA guys, I think, so eloquently explained to us, that LA market is not just UCLA and USC. That LA market is a lot of teams that have people who live in the LA area who root for a lot of different schools. And so that LA market is a big market for the Big Ten, just not only for USC and UCLA, but for the entire conference.
Ohio State has a nice size alumni group out in Los Angeles, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So that being said, we're going to take a look at USC's season last year. Boy, it started off really hot and ended like a complete dumpster fire. And we'll also take a look at where they're at as far as historically where they are at. All right, Chris, let's take a look at how things went last year for them. As you can see, they started off like gangbusters with wins over San Jose, Nevada, Stanford, Arizona State, Colorado, and Arizona. That's six consecutive wins to start their season. Then they lost to Notre Dame in a big primetime game in South Bend. They lost to Utah, which is something that USC has been doing for years now. They got back in the win column against California before losing their last three regular season games, Washington, Oregon, UCLA. They did come back and win in the bowl game 42-28 over Louisville. That meant last year the Trojans were 8-5 overall, 5-4 in their final year in the Pac-12. This will be year number 3 for Lincoln Riley. He has a record of 19-8 out in L.A. Of course, the Trojans play in the Los Angeles, California, L.A. Memorial Coliseum with a capacity of 77,500. The all-time record for the Trojans, that's 875 wins, 368 losses, and 54 ties. Now, this is where it gets interesting, Chris. USC, and this is why they're a blue blood, 35 wins to only 20 losses in bowl games, and they have won 37 conference titles. That's impressive.
It is. It is. Even though the conference was the Pac-12, it's still impressive. They are. They are a blue blood program, as much grief as I want to give them. I fully admit that. Unfortunately for them, their season could have been better, but Marcus Freeman decided to actually play 11 guys on defense against them, apparently. The loss to Utah, I can forgive that. Utah has been really, outside of last year, they kind of been running that conference for the most part the last few years.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they did hit a bad spell at the end, but, you know, they went, had what, Washington and Oregon, no shame in losing to either of those programs. UCLA, that was a Chip Kelly UCLA team that was just running the ball down everybody's throat. And as we know, if there's one knock on Lincoln Riley as a head coach and really USC under Lincoln Riley, it's been that they don't play defense, Eric. You know, that's the big thing. If they can get some defense going out there in Los Angeles, this isn't going to be such a bad team.
No. There's a lot of turnover. There's a lot of questions surrounding defense, which they have not done well. They are moving from a what is viewed as an easier Pac-12 conference to a more difficult Big Ten conference. And if you look at how they performed last year, where they only came away with 7 regular season wins in an easier conference with what many believe is a better overall team, than at least offensively, than what they're going to put out this year. There's a lot of question marks surrounding USC. And if Lincoln Riley can do what he has set out to do in Los Angeles and building a dynasty there that they haven't seen since the, you know, Reggie Bush years.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, Lincoln Riley, great offensive mind. I will not dispute that. Great offensive mind. He needs to find... And I'm going to make it comparable. He needs to find his Jim Knowles.
Mm.
That's what he needs. He needs a strong defensive coordinator out there, somebody who can really help get that defense turned around, somebody who can get out there, recruit some key defensive guys. Because let's face it, Eric, there should be no shortage of talent to recruit from in California.
No.
USC... they're not there yet. I think we got to see how they adjust to the Big Ten. This is a team that could easily go out and win, you know, 8 games in the Big Ten this season. It's a team that could easily go out and lose 8 games in the Big Ten this season. You know, you don't want to hear that, but like you said, the Pac-12 is a much a softer conference. And really, the only big guns the Pac-12 had, we brought to the Big Ten.
Yeah.
So, I mean... this team, you know, I don't know what to make of them. I think they've got some talent. I think they've got some great play calling with Lincoln Riley as far as offense goes. Defensively, I think it's just a big question mark. And, you know, and just ask Kirk Ferentz. Defense really does count in the Big Ten. You know, you can't go out there and outscore everybody all the time. You just can't.
Yeah. No, it's going to be, like you said, it's going to be very interesting. I'm actually really looking forward to seeing how this goes for them. They're one of those teams that I think I'll probably end up watching a lot because I think they play in a lot of premier games. But
yeah, and you know, we don't see them this year, Eric.
But no.
Tell me there's a part of you that wants to see Chip Kelly and Ryan Day up against – Lincoln Riley. Just the offensive potential.
Chip Kelly kind of has their number a little bit. Like, Chip Kelly took a lot less talent and beat USC multiple times. Yeah. So, all right, let's go ahead and play for you guys a great interview I had over the weekend with Brandon and Gunner from Light the Torch podcast, a USC podcast. And so they were so gracious with their time coming on, speaking with me. They're excited about the move to the Big Ten, as you will hear, as they dive into not only what was, but what is and what might be for them as they try to break down the roster for us, as well as what the main storylines are, and including what their ceilings and floor is in their mind for the Trojans in 2024. Yep. And welcome back to the OHIO podcast, everybody. As you can see, I'm joined by my two guests, Gunner and Brandon from Light the Torch, our USC affiliate that has come in today to answer questions for us as we preview the Trojans in the 2024 season. Gunner, Brandon, welcome to the OHIO podcast. And if no one has yet, welcome to the Big Ten.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
So, obviously, with the addition of you guys, along with your crosstown cohorts in UCLA, and then the rivals from up north for you guys, Oregon and Washington. The Big Ten really answered what SEC did with the gaining of Oklahoma and Texas, and then they just poured a bunch of gasoline on it, which seems apropos for lighting a torch. And here we are today. We're sitting with what is, I mean, let's be honest, the four traditional powers, if you will, three traditional powers, one new money team in Oregon, to the Big Ten. And here we are at 18 teams. Why we still call ourselves the Big Ten, I don't know, but we're just going to go with it. Apparently, we're going to be the Big Ten times two here in a couple years, I would assume. But yeah. Guys, what is your view? I'll start here. What is your view of leaving the Pac-12 and joining the Big Ten? Just give me an overview of UCL, USC, you guys, your fan base, and the team in general.
Yeah, I mean it's big. Obviously, from a money standpoint, we're getting a lot more money than what was coming in, and that's kind of the in today's age. That's where it comes down to is, you know, who's got money, who can be able to sustain that the money and whatnot. So yeah, it's just overall a big thing for us.
For me, I feel like it's definitely good, especially for the money standpoint, but also for the eyes. Like we are not Pac-12 After Dark anymore. Like no one was staying up to watch USC. No one was really staying up to watch Oregon or anything like that. So they always put us in a horrible position to be seen, especially by a lot of the voters and everything like that. It just was hard to see USC. And just with our Pac-12 network, it was not easy to be able to watch a Pac-12 game. And I'm actually in Minnesota, so it's kind of hard for me to be able to view that kind of information, the shows, without having to be on the West Coast. So being in the Big Ten, there's a lot more eyes, and it's a lot more, it's readily available for us.
I foresee Brandon going to a lot more USC games now is what I'm foreseeing here.
And personally for myself, it's great for me because I can go to all of them. I'm definitely going to go to Minnesota. Next year, if we're at Ohio State, I'm definitely going to try to make that. I'll try to make the Michigan game too. I'm going to be everywhere.
There you go. Brandon's on the – you have to start a segment on your YouTube channel, Traveling with Brandon. That'll be you know, you get in there and really grate everybody's tailgates, the food scene on campuses.
That would be nice, actually.
Don't know if you're married or not, but we may be maybe co-eds, possibly. I don't know. We'll just have a
little... Married, she's going to be tagging along with me.
Okay, all so right. We'll avoid the co-eds. I gotcha. So USC then, you know, it seems like you guys were okay with leaving the Pac-12, that there's no like, oh, gee, golly, shucks, you know, it's going to be, you know... So sad to no longer have to play Stanford and Cal or, you know.
See, personally, I was sad, like, when it comes to, like, the tradition portion of it. I did enjoy playing Stanford a lot. We've always had a big rivalry. Like, it may not have been as big as, like, us against UCLA, but they had our number for a while when they had Andrew Luck, Christian McCaffrey. So it was definitely – and the whole situation with Pete Carroll and Jim Harbaugh was kind of a – the handshake was a very interesting situation, but it does suck to not see those standard faces that we always played all the time. But we played Big Ten teams quite often, especially in the Rose Bowl. So,
right,
yeah, pretty much echo the same. I mean, it does suck from a tradition standpoint, but I think it helps that Oregon and Washington are also coming on. So it's like, not as bad, basically, and we could also still schedule these guys with non-conference, so sure. That's also a good kind of mixture.
Before we dive into the questions I sent you, I got to do this because, you know, you guys do have a rival with a team that everybody wants to have a rivalry with in this area, and that's Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. You are one of the fortunate ones that get to play them every single year, or unfortunate, however you look at it. Do you foresee, number one, do you foresee Notre Dame joining the Big Ten? And do you feel that you joining the Big Ten will have a big part of that?
I'll start off. Yeah, I do hope they join, and I feel like we can be a big part of that. To me, honestly, it's kind of a disadvantage that we have to play them every year, and it's a non-conference game. I do feel like they should be able to join a conference in general. Obviously, the Big Ten would be great because it would help us from a scheduling standpoint. But yeah, I feel like they definitely deserve to be in the conference.
I definitely do think that they should be in the conference. The only thing, it's kind of interesting because mainly it's football is the only common ground that we have when it comes to Notre Dame. We only just play them in football because the women just now got scheduled for them for basketball. So everyone thinks that we play Notre Dame in every other sport, but we don't. It's mainly just football. But it definitely would benefit both sides. Like, I don't see why they're trying their hardest to hold on to their independence. Like, it's also a negative for them. So it would be a positive for them to be able to win a championship, a conference championship. So right. I hope they come next year.
It could be fast. It could be quick.
Yeah.
Given what's happening in the ACC.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And now with the news about the Big 12 really flirting with some of those ACC teams, I mean, the last thing you want to do is be caught with your pants down with nowhere to go.
Yeah.
And that ACC money, although it's not the significant money that they're getting because they do have the NBC contract, it is enough to where if you're not getting that, you have to consider how we're going to replace that.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be very interesting to see what the Irish do when their hand is forced. You know, obviously their fan base a lot of them are willing to die on the Independence Hill, which mm-hmm. sounds crazy to me. But either way, is there any other Pac-12 teams that are not currently coming with you to the Big Ten that you would like to see the Big Ten add?
I honestly was hoping that Stanford would have made the jump. They have they're academically capable of it, and they definitely they are a contender every other year for the most part. It's just there's been some times that they haven't been as great, but I would have definitely have liked Stanford, and then if I had to choose another team, maybe Utah, because they're also a pretty a powerhouse, and I still want another crack at them. So.
Yeah, I got to agree with Brandon as well. I think Stanford and Utah, Stanford from the history standpoint, academics, and then Utah. I mean, they're built like a Big Ten team. They've kind of always been like that. So they would fit more perfect than Big 12, in my opinion.
Facts. All right. Beautiful. Let's dive into these questions I sent you before. And thanks for going off script, guys, a little bit there at the beginning.
No worries.
Always interesting to just dive into the weeds, you know, with some of this, the new stuff that's happening. What are the main storylines for USC outside of, hey, new conference, here we go, we're in the Big Ten now. What are the main storylines this offseason as we prepare for the 2024 season?
Yeah, so the big main storyline is the defense, right? Can Lincoln figure out the defense and have a decent to solid, you know, defense? That's the big one right now. We obviously have our feelings about that, but that's obviously the big one going into the season.
Yeah, I really think that it is part of that that big storyline is the defense. Everyone that you talk about that says anything about USC, they automatically just go straight towards our defense. They're not going to say anything about our offense because it's always there because that's Lincoln Riley's specialty. But that's his one biggest hurdle is the defense.
So why is that? Since Lincoln Riley's been there, why do you think it's been such a bugaboo for him?
His choices. There's a specific coach that he kept around way too long.
You talking about Alex Grinch?
He who shall not be named.
Hey man, hey, he's a former Buckeye. We didn't like him either. So.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you guys did have him for like a co-defensive coordinator, right?
Yeah, for a season. Yeah.
Yeah, you guys were probably happy.
Oh yeah, very much so.
Yeah, he was with us way too long, and that's on Lincoln Riley for that. I don't know why he decided to keep him. I don't even know if I want to know why he decided to keep him at this point. But he's no longer with us right now, and we have a very capable replacement based off what he did last year.
Yeah. And, of course, definitely. People don't know, the defensive coordinator from UCLA is now over at USC, had some very good defenses there with UCLA with Chip Kelly. Of course, Chip Kelly is now the offensive coordinator at Ohio State. There's a lot of moving pieces between those three programs here lately. Yeah. Justin Fry, our offensive line coach, also was the offensive line coach at UCLA before he left 3 years ago and came here to Columbus. Yeah. You know, so everybody's poaching UCLA lately for what they had that was positive. For everybody who doesn't have a crosstown rivalry, which is everybody in the Big Ten, there are multiple rivalries in a state boundary, but not across a city like that. Yeah. The closest thing I can think of that would Big Ten fans might know is Cincinnati Xavier, which is a huge basketball. Xavier doesn't have a football program.
True.
For people who don't know, though, what is it like to have a rivalry literally across town from you?
Brandon, you want to take that one?
There's a lot of commingling and a lot of trash talk between everyone, because it's crazy because my mom is actually a USC fan. She's the reason why I'm a USC fan. And then my dad went to UCLA.
Oh, my goodness. So really a house divided. There it is.
Well, technically, it's just my dad by himself. We have a family picture of all of us in USC except for him. Even the dog. Even the dog is USC. And my dad's the only UCLA fan, and my dad cannot say anything during when we play those games, because if somehow we lose to UCLA, my dad has to just like leave the house for a little bit. So,
wow, Gunnar, how about you? What's your interactions been with this rivalry?
Yeah, I mean, it's been mostly fun, you know, definitely on the social media. I mean, they, you know, they always think they can, you know, they're the big brother. At the end of the day, they're always the little brother to us. Oh, so, but yeah, it's always been fun. Always a good banner.
Yeah. Like we say that they're tagging along with us. Like they're the only reason why they're allowed in the Big Ten. So
nice. Okay. So one of the things I've been doing with our four new conference friends, frenemies, I guess you could say for now, is I've been creating new rivalries for everybody. So for instance, UCLA and Purdue, I'm making that a rivalry. We're calling it the Golden Spike. When the East Coast joined the West Coast in the railroad, they drove a Golden Spike in the railroad, signifying that East now was connected to the West. Purdue loves to play with choo-choo trains, and they're both basketball programs. They both have gold in their colors, so the Golden Spike is that rivalry. Washington, I gave them the Kings of the North rivalry with Minnesota, the two most northern schools. A winner gets a crown. That would be a pretty cool rivalry trophy.
Okay.
Wearing a crown around. All right. You guys, I know you all want to go be rivalries with Michigan. You don't get them. They're ours. That's us.
Okay. Fair enough.
You don't get them. We all the hate we have goes to them.
Yeah.
Now the old timers here at Ohio State, all them old timers will bring up the USC games in the 60s, in the 70s, in the Rose Bowl, Bo Jackson, the Super Softs, all those great games. And I believe, although you guys hold a winning record against Ohio State, Ohio State has played USC pretty close. I think you guys might hold a game or two lead over us. But we've played each other a lot.
Yeah, we have.
Almost 20 sometimes or something like that. It's wild. But I've got a new rival for you.
Okay.
It has to do with the fact that you are the Trojans and Michigan State is the Spartans.
Yeah.
I saw that coming.
If we don't have a Lady of Troy trophy at some point,
right?
I mean, what are we doing here? We are missing out on history, man.
Yeah.
What do you think? Every year, maybe we could play for like a sword. How cool would that trophy be? Waving around a big sword, you know?
Yeah. Honestly, I agree. I'm on that one with you.
I can't wait to see that.
I've been looking at. Oh no, you're good. That's something we've been talking about internally, kind of already about, you know, Spartans Trojans. So why not make it a yearly thing?
Yeah, I can't wait to see the mascots go against each other. Yeah. That'll be a fun rivalry. Our Traveler with Tommy Trojan going against, no. I don't know their their mascot. Barty? Okay.
Barty, yeah.
Sparty, yeah.
He's jacked. Dude's on roids. Like, he's got muscles for days. They're soft, though. They're soft, but they look impressive.
Big muscles.
Yeah. There is that. And then the other connection is the LeBron connection, man. I mean, we got that one going on, too.
That is true. That is true.
LeBron is an Ohio guy who most Ohio people don't like him. He's left us twice.
Yeah. And did you see him play college football yesterday?
Yes. He's played as the Buckeyes. Played as the Buckeyes, baby.
Oh, he played
Ohio State.
Oh, he played. Oh, yeah, he did play as the Buckeyes. His friend played as Penn State.
Yeah. Penn State.
He's a huge supporter of Ohio State. He loves Ohio State. He wanted to go to Ohio State, but he was just too doggone good to go to college. And he could have played tight end, guys.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
He was a baller in football as well, man. So interesting connection there. All right. Let's move on to a little bit about your roster. What are the biggest losses from last year's team that Lincoln Riley is going to need to replace this year? The obvious one.
Yeah. So it was really tough because we talked about this because we have kind of reloaded at every spot. Like, we lost Brendan Rice. We lost Taj Washington. But then we also had some really upcoming freshmen last year. Deuce Robinson, Zachariah Branch, Jacoby Lane. We have a lot of good freshmen that did get a lot of good playing time. And we lost some. We lost a safety. We lost a cornerback to the transfer portal, but we've reloaded. So it sounds as lame as possible, but Caleb Williams is probably the biggest question mark because that's what everyone identified USC with for the past couple seasons is Caleb Williams. Like, no one – I don't even know if anyone knew Miller Moss's or who the backup quarterback for USC was because he was always on the field. He was always in the spotlight. So it's really all about Miller Moss at this point when it comes to – he's like more of the sub-storyline when it comes to USC is how is Miller Moss going to perform post-Caleb Williams? And we all know that Lincoln Riley is a quarterback whisperer, but this is not a quarterback that he really recruited himself. So this is going to be a real show of how Lincoln Riley does when it comes to just using a guy that's already been on the roster this whole time.
Gunner, what do you guys you want to add to that?
Yeah, pretty much echo again like what Brandon said. If I had to choose another person, I guess I would say Marshawn Lloyd. I mean, he was a second, third round pick. I know we brought in Woody March from Mississippi State, and you know we have high regards with him and that entire RB room. But you know, he was a very talented kid, somebody that we always preach to give the ball more to. So I would say him as well.
Beyond those two, Moss and Lloyd, is there anybody else that fans should be aware of? Any names that you think that we will start to see more of come the season that their names get mentioned a lot?
Yeah, for me on the defensive side, DeCarlos Nicholson, DB from Mississippi State as well is kind of the theme here. Great frame, long arms, and I think he's going to have a big impact with this defense. And then on the offensive side, kind of going back to the RB room, not Woody Marks, but his backup, Quinn Joyner, Texas kid, sophomore. I think we're going to start hearing his name more as well. Coming out of the season.
And for myself, for the offensive side, I want to say Mekhi Lemon. I mentioned Zachariah Branch, Jacoby Lane, and Zachariah Branch, and those were the ones that a lot of people were excited about the most. But Mekhi Lemon came in with a five-star quarterback that is no longer on the team. But a lot of people would say that they credit Mekhi Lemon for his performance. And Mekhi is he's a little bit on the shorter side. He's about like 6 foot or so, but he gives me the kind of he gives me the vibe of Amon-Ra St. Brown. He's a very shifty, great route runner, great hands. He's definitely a very good underrated wide receiver that we have on our very young wide receiver room at this point. And then for the defensive side, I'm going to say Braylon Shelby. he came in with a lot of buzz last year as a freshman, and he played 12 games and he had a decent showing. He had 18 tackles, two sacks. So expect him to be a bigger emphasis for us, especially when it comes to this defense, and knowing how Danton Lynn, our new defensive coordinator, likes to have athletic defensive linemen. And he's very athletic. He's 6'5", 250. Like, that's a prototypical, like, defensive end, edge rusher. He's something that you would consider a freak athlete. And I definitely expect him to make a huge jump and contribute a lot more this year.
Now that we've explored the roster a little bit, give me what you view as the strengths and weaknesses of this team for this season.
Okay, I'll go with the strength. For us, I do think that our experience is definitely a strength for us. We definitely have experience all around the offensive line. We do have some we had a transfer that came in last year, Emmanuel Prayong, that is a French name. Sorry if I butchered that for him. But he was big coming out of he transferred from Wyoming. And he was a big guy. He was very sought after. And he was our guard last year. And he definitely had a lot of good showings. But I think he was just still trying to learn the offense. But this year, he's definitely going to be a lot more experienced with that. We definitely have a lot of experience in the linebacker core, whether it's transfers or people who've been on the team, especially with Mason Cobb. Coming back for a second season with us, transfer from Oklahoma State. And then we definitely have a lot of good secondary that, like, our secondary is definitely one of our strengths when it comes to the best position group on our defense here. We have a lot of depth at that spot when it comes to for our defense.
Yeah, and then our weakness, other than the safety position, is really depth. Especially with the trenches, right? Got to have depth to sustain in the Big Ten and to make a run into the playoffs. So that's definitely our biggest weakness that we've been hinting at throughout this offseason.
Well, Gunnar, you alluded to it.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
I'll go there. So you mentioned depth. I have a theory. I've been running this theory by all of our new West Coast friends. Some of them have tried to poo-poo it. Others have said, no, there's legitimacy there. And I think it's twofold. So, there's a lot of talk about styles of play in the Big Ten versus what you experienced in the Pac-12. You guys mentioned that Utah was very much a Big Ten-type team, and you guys have not necessarily done the greatest against Utah.
Right.
But neither has anybody else in the Pac-12 since they've become a member. That had, to me, is one of the – in the last 10 years, last decade, the rise of Utah has been amazing. Mm-hmm. Since Urban Meyer took them over as a Group of Five school and get to where they're at today is a story you don't often see in college sports.
Yep.
So anyways, that being said, the style of play in the Big Ten is such to where there I wouldn't say the majority, but there is definitely a large contingent of teams who celebrate the punt. Meaning they love to play defense so much that they look at a 12-9 win as the greatest thing in sports. Okay. So the physicality of the Big Ten is for real.
Yeah.
You get to the end of the season and you're going to look at your roster who's playing in week 12 and you're going to be like, you know, half of these guys were backup guys.
Mm-hmm.
That's just every season it seems to be that way.
Mm-hmm.
And it really is because of the physicality of play, especially in the trenches. You couple that with the fact that the traveling in the Big Ten is and gosh, your crosstown brethren over there at UCLA, if you've seen what they are starting in Hawaii.
Yeah.
People look at a map and they think Hawaii's next to LA. No, it's not. It's not. You're closer to Japan than you are to the States. They start there. They go across the country twice.
Yeah.
And they go down to LSU. I mean, their travel is ungodly.
Yeah.
You couple the physicality of play in the conference with the travel of play. My theory has been if you're going to play one of the West Coast teams, you want to play them late because they're going to be beat up. And they're going to be tired. You don't want to catch them early. If you catch them early, their athleticism is probably going to blow your doors off because you're going to be – if you're a Midwest school who's slower, you're going to get beat. But if you catch them at the end of the year and you're getting the backups and they're tired and they're beat up, then you can win in a phone booth. That's my theory. What do you guys think? Does that have some legs or are you going to poo-poo that today for me?
I mean, for me, I agree. I do agree with what you're saying. Makes perfect sense to me. So,
okay,
it definitely is going to show, especially with the travel between the Midwest. Right. So, I do see some valid points to your point with that. It's just luckily for us, we got Michigan game week three. So,
hey. Listen, I won't be rooting for USC much, but that week you better believe you will find some gold with my Scarlet, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I will definitely be rooting for you that week. So along those lines of the traveling and the Big Ten and the Midwest and things, maybe let's start to look a little bit at the schedule and go down the schedule with me real fast. Now, the Big Ten – let's start here. Let's go out of conference. Let's talk LSU. For people who've heard things but don't really know, what's the story behind Lincoln Riley kind of like not wanting to play that game? What's up with that? What's the truth?
So honestly, we don't know the full truth, like what was going on behind the scenes in that situation here, but there's a lot of – it's not just USC that's doing this when it comes to, like, when it comes to the schedule situation. Like, it really does – like, I think the meaning behind it, if it's a true situation, is just it doesn't benefit us, especially being in the best, if not – or best, top two, whatever. I think we're the best conference at this point. Like, we are going against the best of the best in the country every week now at this point. So just adding someone that that's not really helping us when it comes to winning the Big Ten itself, it's definitely a negative for us, just like Notre Dame itself. Like, they're always a national powerhouse. So it kind of doesn't really benefit us in that situation. It's good bragging rights for us, but and it's also looks good on the record. But we have Michigan, Penn State, Nebraska, which is a sleeper. And then also Washington, who's still in a rebuild probably now since they lost their head coach, and Wisconsin always plays tough. Like, those are some grueling teams, especially physical teams. Mm-hmm. So we can't handicap ourselves just because we want to always look good for the voters at this point. Because and maybe in the Pac-12 we needed something like that, because not every team in the Pac-12 was going to be a top 25 team. But in the Big Ten, you have that everywhere. So with the new playoff system here, like, every team that we're playing, Penn State, Michigan, they're always going to be televised TV games, and people are going to be able to see us.
Yeah, and also I think some factor is that was scheduled with an old AD. Yeah. I feel like that probably has some factor into this as well, where Jen Cohen and Lincoln kind of talked it over and see if they could, you know, move that game potentially. From a pure college football fan perspective, I'm glad we still have it. It's good to see the matchup, but I totally understand it from a business standpoint, and how to basically still win games, you know, and try to make the playoffs. Because at the end of the day, these SEC teams, right, they're playing these FCC schools in November because they can play, you know, 8 games versus 9 and all that other stuff. But, yeah.
They schedule Citadel like the second half game of the year. So,
right.
Yeah. Yeah. And so welcome to one of the Big Ten talking points, hating the SEC. You already got the hang of it. Well done. You mentioned Washington. You brought up Notre Dame again, which if you're going to play Notre Dame non-conference, there's no need to schedule LSU.
Yeah. It's just tradition at this point.
Yeah. So, but with playing Notre Dame in South Bend every other year, with going up to Oregon, with going up to Washington, lay to rest this USC doesn't want to play in the cold weather argument. Right. Like, you guys already play in cold weather. There's nothing to this.
Thank you.
Thank you. Utah's cold and Colorado is cold. I used to live in Colorado myself before I moved to Minnesota. Colorado would always schedule us in like November right after snow. So we played in cold weather. It's not that since we play in Arizona State, that's all they see. But they don't see Oregon, Washington, Notre Dame, which always tries to play the weather against us. It's nonsense, in my opinion.
Yeah, I've been trying to – whenever that comes up in the chat, I'm like, guys, they play in cold weather. Like, yeah. Pay attention. Like, I feel like some people don't know geography very well. Yeah.
I don't know what it's like in Ohio during the college football season, but in Minnesota between September and November, it's not really that cold. It really isn't.
It can get that way in November, but every now and then it's more gray and rainy. I mean, your leaves are changing. Some of the days in October are just – they're gorgeous. Gorgeous. You know, like 60 degrees and sunny, baby.
Yeah. I mean, short weather, perfect.
Yeah, you don't get better than that. So it is kind of a misnomer. But
yeah,
if an SEC school has to come up north in December in the playoffs, big difference.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
December is cold, okay? And if we get – I mean, like, those games are going to be super interesting, yeah. I think. So – That could be an advantage. But even, absolutely. You know, even the SEC, some of them have to, you know, Kentucky's not exactly like the tropics here, guys. Like, you know, it could get cold in Kentucky, you know.
Yeah.
I know that's the most northern school they got, but, you know,
right. Point
taken. All right. So, yeah, thank you for answering that for me. And by the way, I've argued that point for months now. moving on in the schedule here. So that we get past LSU, you got Utah State. All right. Michigan, okay. You brought it up. Wisconsin. Don't sleep on Minnesota.
Okay.
Penn State. You guys know Washington very well. You also brought up Nebraska. UCLA, crosstown. And Maryland's terrible, so I won't even bring them up. But Rutgers is for real, dog.
Yeah. Okay.
They are like that. Listen to this. This is my crazy. I always give one crazy prediction every year. I don't think this one's so crazy. Rutgers can go to the college football playoff. Have you seen their schedule? You guys are their only tough game. You're the only one they got. They don't play Penn State. They don't play Ohio State. They don't play Michigan. They don't play Iowa. They don't play. They don't play Oregon.
They have Howard.
No, and they got that running back still, correct?
Yeah, they came back. Good running back, yeah.
And they got a quarterback who can actually throw the football. Last year, they literally could not throw the football. So
Wow.
I'm telling you, Rutgers is for real. So this schedule, guys, is, I mean, whoo. The Big Ten did not do you any favors when they said, welcome to the conference.
It's an invitation for us.
Yeah. So that being said, what are your expectations for the season? And with that, what is, in your honest opinion, what is the floor and what is the ceiling for the Trojans in 2024?
Yeah. I mean, our floor, what we feel like is an 8-4 team right there. Given the record or the schedule, excuse me. Like you mentioned, there's definitely going to be tough games in here. I think what starts to favor us is that we're not traveling as much towards the end of the season. So I think that's going to help in some aspect. But yeah, floor, I would say 8-4.
Yeah, I personally think 8-4 as well. You did mention Rutgers and Wisconsin for us and Nebraska, or I mentioned that. We have them all at home. So I expect that we go undefeated at home. We're always good at home for the most part recently. So I definitely – we have some of these sleeper games at home.
Okay. So given the six home games that you're – alluding to, you think two and whatever, how many you got, five or how many road games you got, you're going to only win two of those.
Yeah, so
that's the floor.
Yeah, the floor for like the home game or for the away games that we have. Well, technically, I don't know if you want to count LSU as an away game or a home game. I would say it's a home game for us since it's in Vegas.
I mean, it's neither.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're probably going to get a 50-50 split.
Yeah.
You'll probably be closer to like 40-40 and then 20% of people who are just there for the game, right? Like
probably.
They're not a fan of either one. But okay, so I mean, eight wins is a floor for most teams in the Big Ten is their ceiling. Let's just be honest with you with it, right? So you're looking at yourselves as eight wins as the floor. What's the ceiling then?
Realistically, I'm going to say 10-2.
Your floor and ceiling's not very – I mean, you –
Well, like, yeah, I honestly think that we have the ability – like, we have the tools. It's just no one knows about the tools that we have.
Okay.
And I think that we can surprise a lot of teams, or I think we can make we can definitely surprise Michigan. I just think that with our new defensive staff, which a lot of people are not talking about, they're definitely going to make a huge change for our defense. And I honestly think that our defense could be the highlight of our season as long as we can stay healthy. So I think the ceiling of the – Of course, every person wants to say that their team's going to go undefeated.
Right.
So, but I do think that there's a possibility if the stars align for us.
Okay. So you're saying there is a possibility that the ceiling is 12-0.
Yes.
Okay. There we go. I had to bait it out of you, Brandon, but we got it.
I know, but I'm just waiting to see your comment sections when I say that.
Now, you know what? So far, in these videos that we've done, to be honest with you, we've got a lot of people who are watching the videos of that particular team.
Yeah.
You know, Ohio State fans will look at this as being like, well, we're the only time we'd have to worry about USC would be in Indianapolis if we played for a Big Ten championship.
Yeah.
So, you know, but so I get a lot of positive feedback from these from actual teams who fans who watch, you know, follow that team. So that'll be, you know, I think a lot of people would be like that a boy Brandon, you know, in a ways that they'll be excited about that. Gunner, what do you think? Do you think 12-0 is the ceiling as well?
No, if I really had to say that, no, I don't think 12-0. I mean, if we had to say something, it'd be 11-1, but I feel more of the 10-2 is why I think 10-2 is our ceiling. I could see 11-1, but 12-0, I honestly, I don't see that happening.
Yeah. To throw my two cents in and to get have you guys probably start to hate me already, get that rivalry blood going, I think 6-6 is your floor.
Okay.
But that's a floor. That's like worst case scenario. So you're still going bowling. I think that there's an adjustment period with the defense that, you know, that needs to be talked about.
Yeah.
You know, even if you have all the skills there and everything, I think the transition to a new conference with the travel is going to be new. It's going to be unique. I think you're going to be pleasantly surprised with some of the teams in the Big Ten that, like, for instance, Rutgers, like, what? Like, we're in a dogfight in the fourth quarter with Rutgers. This happens in the Big Ten more than even us Buckeye fans like to admit. We would love for every game to be 35 points in a blowout midway through the third quarter, and we're flipping back and forth from Ohio State to whatever game's on because the game's over and the backups are in. That actually happens very seldom in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
You being a Midwest guy, Brandon, and probably connected to the Gophers a lot, every game is like fourth quarter nail biter. Every one of them.
Yeah, they had a very interesting game against, I think, Nebraska last year. Where
to open the season.
Yeah. I was like, what just happened? I definitely do. I'm keeping my eyes on Minnesota, too, as well. So I just think that fact that we also have Rutgers at home definitely benefits us.
I'm not mistaken, isn't that a Friday night game?
Friday night, 8 p.m., yeah.
So is that going to be a 5 p.m. in the afternoon game for you guys on a Friday?
No, it would be 8 p.m. Local time in L.A. So it would be 11 p.m. Eastern.
10 o'clock
for me. Yeah, 10 o'clock for me.
I don't know that I'll be staying up for that one.
Yeah, I don't know why they're still trying – like that that screams Pac-12 After Dark right there. I don't know what they're doing with that one, but
– Yeah. Interesting. Okay. Very, very good. Very good. All right, guys. So in closing here, before I let you guys off the hook and you tell everybody where they can find your show, I got to know, like, in all honesty, do you want to be a part of the Big Ten or do you want to go back? Would you rather see, like, if there's an alternate world where the Big Ten brings in all the old Pac-12 teams or Pac-10 teams? And you have Big Ten West. Is that more preferable to you? Or are you like, no, we want this. We want all the smoke. We want the Big Ten. Like, what do you really, if you could have a perfect world, Gunner, what do you want?
Perfect world? I mean, honestly, I want all the smoke. I mean, obviously, the West division that you're kind of mentioning, that would be great, right, from a travel perspective. But I'm all for trying to beat the best teams out there, try to, you know, see the best matchups possible. So, I would want all the smoke.
All right.
Yeah, see, personally, for me, since I'm in Minnesota, I love the fact that we're out here. And so that definitely helps me to be able to see my team every Saturday. So, but honestly, I was hoping that it would have just been USC and UCLA coming. But then we also had to have some other teams decide to tag along because they didn't want to be out there anymore, and they took half the price that we got. So I would have been okay with leaving Oregon and Washington behind, but that's just me. I'm excited for being in the Big Ten and just seeing new teams and just being able to make it a regular with USC, Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State. Like I always look forward to playing those teams. When we played Ohio State, we had the home-to-home game, 2010, 2011 or so. No, 2009 and 2010. That was fun. Like, it was definitely – and we also played Nebraska before that, too, before they became the Big Ten, too. So it's definitely going to be nice, refreshing. And I'm excited for some new rivalries to magically come out of nowhere. And like you said, the Michigan State one, that definitely sounds fun. To fight over a special sword, that'd be cool.
Yeah. So I believe this is my prediction, and I am standing pretty firm to this. The Big Ten is eventually going to be 24 teams. And you're going to have divisions within the Big Ten of six, very similar to the NFL. I think you're going to have six teams in a pod, if you will, right. And that you guys, you West Coasters, are going to have another West Coast team, and probably either Texas A&M, which is getting a lot of
Weird, right?
Yeah. Well, it's not weird if you understand their hate for Texas.
True, yeah.
And the fact that the SEC are like, you are a Texas team, and then they bring Texas in, it's like, right.
They don't feel special anymore.
Yeah. Nope. Yeah. Well, with those male cheerleaders, they're always going to be special. Texas A&M and Nebraska or something like that, similar in your six pod, West Coast or West, Big Ten West. And you're going to play those five teams every single year. You're going to rotate them, and then you'll fill in with the other ones in the conference games. But getting there is going to – there's going to be growing pains getting there because of all the politics involved in this.
Yeah.
So anyways, hold tight. I think the Big Ten's going to add another team or two for you guys out west. To not have to travel so much. But in the meantime, I'm with you, Brandon. This, to me, is so cool to turn on my television on Saturday, watch three consecutive Big Ten games, see things like that you've just never dreamed of seeing, like UCLA playing in Maryland. In what world did that ever exist, right? Like, I mean, that's just wild to me. And then be like, you know what? It's cool. Like, this is what we have now. And so even though I'm a traditionalist and I'm old school, to me, this is great getting some fresh blood, some fresh takes, and some beautiful looking television, I think is what it's going to amount to. Final thoughts, guys, and where can if there's a USC fan watching this and you've never seen these guys before on Light the Torch, where can they find you?
Go Guns.
Yeah, you can check us out on YouTube. Check us out on social media. We have Twitter. We go live on there as well. That's connected. I believe Instagram as well. But you can see the social media handle @_LightTheTorch. That is our X Twitter account. So definitely give us a follow. Definitely, you know, go and check us out on the YouTube channel as we're getting to a road to 1,000 before the LSU game. So come support.
Yeah, and we just opened up our Twitch channel. So if you guys want the smoke on College Football 25, pull up. So we'll be playing there, and it's going to be some good times.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, guys, for joining us. Good luck on the season, and welcome to the Big Ten.
Appreciate you having us.
Thank you.
All right, welcome back to the OHL podcast, everybody. Thank you so much to Brandon Gunner from the Light the Torch podcast. Appreciate their time in that interview, and look forward to speaking to them again, hopefully very soon, Chris. All right. Let's do a little bit of a quick dive ourselves into this roster that USC has. We're going to start with the offense first, Chris, if you don't mind. So I'm going to share my screen. We'll just go right over to the Our Lads website and take a look at what they have offensively. A lot of returning talent on the offense. Now, some of it's unproven, and a lot of it is very youthful. Look at that wide receiver room, Chris. Deuce Robinson, Lane, Branch, Lemon, all of them are sophomores. So very young. And then up front, you got a redshirt freshman at left tackle and Elijah Page. The left guard is a senior and Emmanuel Pregnan. And then Jonah Monaim is at center. They've moved him to center. That's a name that everybody should be familiar with. That is probably their best offensive lineman, in my opinion, Chris. And interesting that they've moved him to anchor doing the snapping. Sophomore on the right guard, and then redshirt junior at right tackle. And then Lake McCree, a redshirt junior at tight end, one of the better tight ends in the Big Ten this year. Miller Moss, redshirt junior quarterback. This will be interesting. What are they going to get from Miller Moss? And then Woody Marks, transfer from Mississippi State, comes in as the lead running back. Chris, your thoughts on this offense that Lincoln Riley is going to be throwing out there in 2024?
You know, they have a great center, I believe, in Monheim. Like you said, he may be, in fact, he probably is without a doubt, the best offensive lineman they have. And if you look, Eric, what I'm thinking is he's also probably the one that has the most playing time. He is a redshirt senior. So maybe they want that stability, that leadership at the center position. I don't know. Zach Branch, that's a name to get to know. The slot receiver is very talented. Also, yeah, you mentioned Lake McCree, the tight end. Miller Moss, I'll tell you what, if we see from him what we saw in the bowl game, Eric.
He looked good.
They looked really good. I think this is an offense that if they get the Miller Moss that played in the bowl game, this is an offense that's going to score points.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you. Let's take a look at the defensive side of things now, Chris. So we'll flip it back again over to the Our Lads and take a look at the defense. A lot more transfers here. Of course, the UCLA defensive coordinator moves over, comes across town. They're hoping that he can bring with him his success, because they have not had much under Alex Grinch. That is for sure. Lincoln Riley held on to him way, way too long. But this is not a very young defense. Junior, senior, redshirt sophomore, senior. You look at what he's putting out on the field this year, and there is the potential for USC to actually have the best defense, not only under Lincoln Riley, but possibly the better defense they've had in a very long time there in LA. Chris, your thoughts on the possibility of USC defensively? I mean, they're going to be better.
They're going to be better. Obviously, they're better because if you look, they've moved Bryce and Shaw onto the two deep at free safety. That instantly makes them better.
Gives them some credibility, doesn't it?
Definitely does. But, you know, you look at this and they've got a lot of experienced players. They've got a lot of experienced players who don't have very much experience.
Yeah, they got some veterans who need the time on the field, need the reps.
It's not
going to be a quick fix. That's the thing that I think most people need to realize is the defense isn't just going to be snap the fingers and you're good overnight. That's not going to happen here. It's going to take some time.
Here's the thing: if you look at it though. Even as you look into their two deep, Eric, they're not young and they're two deep. This is a team that has a lot of veteran presence.
There's maturity there.
Yes. That could be beneficial. But at the same time, what does that say? He brought in the transfers to help get them right this year. But man, next year, this is a team that could really be hurting for talent next year on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, they're going to be young.
They're going to be very young.
Unless they hit the transfer portal.
The question is, if the season starts to go south, how many of these guys do you see from that three deep suddenly finding their way into playing time? So, I don't know. It's a team that I think you're right. They'll be improved on defense. I still don't see this as a good defense. This is not a defense that's going to slow down or stop an Oregon, an Ohio State, teams that have the offense, but maybe even a Washington. These are teams that I think can really put up points. I think this is a defense that you're going to see struggle with the Rutgers this year, a team that's vastly improved on offense. So, like I said, this is a team could be 8-4, could be 4-8 at the end of the regular season. You just don't know.
Well, let's take a look at their schedule, Chris, and give our prediction on how we think they're going to go this year. Of course, they start the year off in a neutral site, Las Vegas against LSU. This was a game that Lincoln Riley tried to get out of, Chris. And I understand why. Moving to the Big Ten, with that Big Ten schedule, plus you play Notre Dame, there's no reason to play another Power 4 program like Notre Dame, like LSU on this schedule. I completely get why he wanted to do it. That being said, it's going to hurt them.
It's definitely going to hurt them.
They come home against Utah State before getting their first bye. Then they go on the road to start the year off, and they have to go to that whore known as Ann Arbor. That's not an easy game to be welcomed into the Big Ten. I'm sorry.
No.
Even though I don't think this is the same team that won the national championship last year, I'm on record as saying that. I'm on record as saying that they are a few injuries away from being very mediocre at key positions. Circle that game. If SC loses that one, they could be staring 1-2 in the face looking at a home game on September 28th against Wisconsin, where the Badgers will be smelling blood. Go back on the road at Minnesota. That is not an easy game. That's not an easy place to play. It's not going to be necessarily cold in Minneapolis on October 5th. Not that that would matter, but again, just not an easy place to play. Then they come home to take on Penn State in what I think would be a huge, huge game for both these teams. It could be one of these two teams. This game could, hey, you're going to win and you've got a chance to make the college football playoff, or you're losing and your season's practically done on October 12th. At Maryland, that should be a win. However, that's all the way across from coast to coast for them. And then they come home on a Friday night, so short week after a long trip to the East Coast, to take on Rutgers. And that is a game you cited, Chris. Rutgers, this is not your typical Rutgers team. Then they go on the road at Washington. I think SC has the better roster at this point, but I don't know at this point in the season if they will be more healthy than Washington. That could be a getcha game. Bye week again, and then they host Nebraska. Don't sleep on Nebraska. At UCLA, they should win that one, but they should have won games against their crosstown rival in the past before. And then they finish the year with, I think, going to be a heartbreaker against Notre Dame. Notre Dame probably be looking at the college football playoff. SC will not. Chris, you have them going 9-3 overall, 7-2 in the Big Ten. JR and I both have them going 8-4. However, I have them 7-2 in the Big Ten. JR has them 6-3. Now, Vegas says this is a 7.5 win over under on this team. So Vegas thinks they're either 7 or 8 wins out of this schedule. That's not good enough to get you in the playoff.
It's not. And let me tell you, I think the biggest reason for me having one more win than you guys do is my total disdain for Marcus Freeman. I think I allowed that to possibly cloud my vision a little bit, to where I think I gave USC that win. Because let's face it, in their conference or in their non-conference schedule, that is not an easy non-conference, by the way. You got Notre Dame.
And LSU.
Utah State was a bowl eligible team last year, Eric.
They're not
a walk in the park.
No, this is they're not a MAC school. Sorry, MAC.
So, yeah, I mean, I believe they, in hindsight, if I take the passion out of it, I believe they probably are an 8-4 squad, much like you and JR had mentioned. It's still one I'm not willing to put money on. I think it's too close either way. Like I said, I think they could be 8-4. I think they could be 4-8. I think you just don't know until you see how they start performing in the Big Ten.
And I think you're right, because like I said, this thing could get swirly. Let's lay out the scenario. They lose the first game of the year against LSU. They lose at Michigan, and then Wisconsin comes in and they're reeling, and Bucky Badger pulls out the upset. You're 1-3, 0-2 in the Big Ten.
And don't underestimate Luke Fickell. He is going to have those guys ready.
Yeah. And this is the type of – I'm sorry, but this is the type of game PJ Fleck pulls out of nowhere, and you're like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Like, that saves his job, and you know, all of a sudden Minnesota's got six wins, and you're like, man, how'd they get six wins? Oh, that's right, they upset USC at the beginning of the season. Like, that is so PJ Fleck to do something like that. So this thing can get away from Lincoln Riley really fast, and if it does, then I think the talk about Riley to the NFL really starts to heat up.
Yeah, I agree, because I'll tell you what, you're not going to see him. I don't think he walks away for another college program. If he walks away, it's for the league. He probably goes in as an offensive coordinator in the league somewhere. You look at the success he's had with quarterbacks, and it would make perfect sense. But yeah, I agree with you. If this thing starts going south, that fan base in Los Angeles is not one that's going to sit and just take a blue blood program like USC and just be content with making a bowl game every year.
Are you sure?
I think so.
They're kind of laissez-faire, aren't they? Like, seems like that's the type of fan base that they are, where things are going great, they're going to be there, and if things are not, oh well, we'll just go to the beach.
I guess you do have that advantage out there, but if they've got any real fans left, they're not going to sit there. And more importantly, Eric, I think it comes down to the donors and the people who are fronting that NIL money. They're not going to stand for it.
They shouldn't. They shouldn't. Speaks more towards college football in general, but because we get some of it here on our podcasts. Well, if you fire Ryan Day, who are you going to get that's better, right? I think you're going to get some of that with Lincoln Riley. Well, who are you going to replace him with?
James Franklin.
No. Urban Meyer.
That would be their hope. And that would honestly, if that's their hope, and that would be my fear.
Your fear, huh?
I'm going to tell you, I do not want to see Urban coaching at a Big Ten school unless it's Ohio State. That man has got such intensity, and he is, as you have said on numerous occasions, so addicted to the win that he could be a thorn in a lot of sides.
Oh, yeah. He would recruit the heck out of L.A.
Yes.
Absolutely. More so than I think they've had in the past, obviously. Probably since Pete Carroll.
Yeah.
Awesome. Like, share, subscribe. We really do appreciate it. If you are a USC fan and you're watching this and you have stuck to the very end of this bad boy, you obviously love your Trojans. Go give the Light the Torch podcast a follow. They deserve that. Great dudes doing good work over there on the West Coast. And if you want to give us a like and follow, by all means, we'd take that as well. Hope you are enjoying these previews. For those of you who have been following this since the beginning, that was number 7.
That was 7, Eric. We've done 3 yeah. West Coast teams now, and Indiana,
Purdue, Illinois, Michigan State, mm-hmm. Washington, UCLA. Yep. And now USC. So that's 7. So we have 11 more to go.
It was so unsimple when there was only 10 teams, Eric.
Next up, we're going to stay out west. One more. The Ducks are next. Buckle up, Buckeyes. This one will be interesting. Till next time, be kind to one another. I owe so and so H. Sing Carver to High with all your heart. Till next time. OH.
IO.
Go Bucks.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. so you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.